Cloud. Let me see. All right. Well, welcome, welcome. Very excited to endeavor into this side of engagement in a small group with a mini training. To confess that mini is not my superpower. Most of my things are not mini, but I really wanted to provide value in a bite-sized time frame. And so this is my attempt at that. So we're aiming for about 20 minutes here, and feel free as you're listening to drop comments in the chat box, and then we'll have time for a few at the end.
Great.
So this week, actually the past couple of weeks, I'm talking about feedback and criticism. And so I wanted to start off with a story from about midpoint, I would say, in my career, when I learned a big lesson, and I will share with you what the mistake I made was as well. So I had joined a renewable energy company. I was recruited to come to this company. And when I received the position, they said, this is brand new. This is a general outline of what we think it looks like, but really this is yours to run with. And I had earned my MBA a year or two before that with an entrepreneurial focus. So this was an awesome opportunity to essentially implement what I had learned in school hands-on. So I was thrilled at the chance. It was in an industry I was excited about. Great, game on. So I got there, I dove in, I did a lot of data analysis. I put together PowerPoints. I initiated a research project with some universities, which was something they hadn't done yet. I made friends at the company, and I thought everything was going pretty well. Then it came time for the mid-year reviews for everybody, which for me was about 90 days into my role. And I went into my manager's office excited about the review, because leading up to this point, all the reviews throughout my career had been wonderful. We love having you here, Jamie. You do great work. Keep it up. You know, maybe here's something to think about for improvement or a development opportunity and a few little things. But mostly it was like, you know, come home and put it on my refrigerator. And I expected this review to be very similar. Well, I quickly found out that it was not. As I sat down in my manager's office, his name is Tom. I will not share his last name, but Tom pulled out a list of approximately 12 things that I had been doing wrong the entire time. And none of this had ever been shared with me by him or by anyone else. One of the things I distinctly remember was that you're not using the company template the PowerPoint template that has the company logo on it, which is a pretty simple fix. And I had no idea. That would have been really helpful to have had that feedback much sooner. Another one had to do with the nature of the project itself, which I thought was kind of strange, since when I reported about it, people nodded their heads and it seemed to be going in a direction that everyone liked. I couldn't even tell you what the third or the fourth one was. And as I sat there and listened to this, for the first time ever, and mind you, I came from the automotive industry, so I had been in plenty of tough situations. For the first time ever in my career, my eyes filled with tears and started streaming down my face. And I was horrified. And Tom looked at me and realized that maybe he had crossed the threshold, and maybe it was time to pull back. And so he looked at me and he simply said, maybe we need to put this conversation on hold. He said, Jamie, I'm going to leave my office, take your time to collect yourself, and then, you know, exit when you feel comfortable. Exit the office, by the way, not the company. So I sat there for a minute or two. I mean, I wanted to get out of there as fast as any of us would want to leave a gynecologist appointment. And thankfully, I used the hair curtains to hide my face, and I walked out of the office. And I don't remember if I went to a coffee shop or took a walk or what it was, but I had to get out of there. Well, my mistake from that situation is that I didn't proactively ask for feedback. 1 week into my role, 2 weeks into my role, once a week for a couple months until I knew the culture and the cadence, I could have proactively asked for that feedback and likely avoided that horrible circumstance that I experienced in my manager's office. where I was embarrassed, I was ashamed, I was completely taken aback. So today, the goal is to share with you a few questions that you can proactively ask to get ahead of a situation like that. And these are questions that you can also ask your direct reports. There's some good reciprocal value with these questions. And before I get to those, I would like to discuss the difference between feedback, constructive criticism, and destructive criticism, because the distinctions are important. So first, let's start with feedback. So feedback, unless you are super ego-driven, feedback is friendly, it's helpful, it's informal. It might simply sound like a suggestion or an idea. It's pretty laid back and it's pleasant for the most part. In some ways, you can think about it like somebody holding up a soft mirror, a nice mirror in front of you, and providing a comfortable way to learn. That's feedback. Constructive criticism is a little different. Constructive criticism comes from someone whom you respect. The delivery is thought out so as to be, as the name implies, constructive, meaning that you can build upon it and grow from it. It's more targeted than feedback in that it's likely more extensive, or it's specific for a certain project, a certain time period, a client interaction, a presentation, something like that. It's usually not delivered just on the fly. It's usually a planned conversation. And it's not super emotional because it comes from someone whose opinion is valuable to you. It is an opportunity for improvement, not degradation, and you can leverage it to capitalize on your strengths. So constructive criticism might sound like, here, let me show you a better way. Or if you change this behavior, it will help you achieve this other thing. Usually the person delivering it is mindful of addressing the behavior or the task as opposed to the person. An example of this might be, you know, if you could improve your eye contact and use an assertive voice, you'll earn respect and recognition in the meeting. Whereas the unhealthy way to communicate that same thing would attack the person rather than addressing the behavior and say something like, you have bad eye contact and a passive voice. Similar message, but the words certainly change the value. Constructive criticism is helpful, it encourages growth, and it drives improvement. And that brings us to destructive criticism. This is the one, nobody likes this. This might sound more like, instead of the, here, let me show you a better way, the destructive way would be, you did it wrong. It's more closed-ended. It attacks the person rather than the behavior. And it likely comes from someone whom you don't respect or trust or admire. From a confidence standpoint, it's a very tenuous spot. The delivery is oftentimes not professional and sometimes hurtful. It usually comes by surprise and is reactionary or on the spot. It's not well thought out. The struggle with destructive criticism is that it feels awful. It's emotionally triggering. It's embarrassing and shameful, just like what I experienced in the story that I opened up with. And the risk, the big risk, is that it could send you into an emotional state like it did for me, in which from a neuroscience perspective, your amygdala gets hijacked. That's where you hold emotion. And when your amygdala gets hijacked, that forces your thinking faculties to turn off. And then that makes things harder than they even need to be. The opportunity though, the esoteric thing about where you can use destructive criticism to your advantage is that sometimes it carries incredible value. And this is where you'll have to do the work to strip away the emotion and consider the content only. And when you do that, there could be some incredibly valuable nuggets in there. Sometimes the reason behind why someone is spewing out destructive criticism is not because they think you're a bad person or they don't like you. Rather, it's because the messenger has really high IQ. I mean, they're smart. They know what they're talking about, but they also have equally low EQ, emotional intelligence, meaning that they can't or don't care to read the room, so to speak. They lack self-awareness as well as awareness of others. And maybe they themselves haven't experienced what constructive criticism or feedback is like. You know, there's the phrase, hurt people hurt people. So there's usually something behind it, which doesn't excuse it, but it's not your problem to solve. It might help your brain to process, though, that there is some psychology and science behind why that's happening. I know for me, anytime I can refer to data or research, that's a healthy coping mechanism. So that being the case, the combination of high IQ and low EQ, the good news is that I can almost guarantee you will learn something from that person once, this is key, once you've been able to separate the emotion from the content of what they shared, separated in both your head and your heart. And I have another personal story to share with you. I worked for a different company. I was in oil and gas, where I was at the director level. The CFO was not my direct boss, but he certainly was an influencer in my role. I was the director of marketing, so I was spending quite a bit of money, and he understandably wanted a regular pulse on that. He was, though, very simply said, a very angry, aggressive human being. And I really disliked, maybe even hated being around him. He was mean, and I would brace for impact every time he came at me. I went through this process numerous times. And over time, though, what I learned is that once I could calm myself down and take an objective look at what he said, I learned a ton from him. I mean, he was right about a lot of things, and he had amazing financial acumen and vision. And I often found myself in my head saying, gosh, if he could just use his powers for good, not evil, imagine what he could do. But again, he was not my problem to solve. I was my own opportunity to resolve. And so that brings us to the key learning for today. The lesson here today is that when you can answer the question of how can I be proactive in eliciting feedback so that it is hands down constructive, that is where you will receive feedback that is substantial and beneficial, and it helps you grow rather than be intimidating, uncomfortable, or psychologically unsafe. So how can you get ahead of destructive criticism, certainly, so that you don't waste mental energy on it like I did while I was trying to sort out the feelings from the facts? So I have three proactive questions that you can ask to get ahead as much as possible of feedback and criticism, and especially destructive criticism. This comes from a book I recently read called The Culture Code. I pulled these questions from there, and to give full and proper credit, it is a man named Laszlo Bock. He is the one who designed these questions. Laszlo is the former head of people analytics at Google, and he recommended that leaders there ask their people these questions. And I recommend that as a leader, you can also ask these questions to your direct reports. So it works both ways. All right, here are the questions. Number one, what is one thing I currently do that you would like for me to continue to do? What is one thing I currently do that you'd like for me to continue to do? This is a great way to learn what the other person thinks of you, and ideally what he or she sees as your gifts, your strengths, and your superpowers, and give you guidance to lean into those even more. That's the first question. The second one is, what is one thing I don't do frequently enough that you think I should do more often? What is one thing I don't do frequently enough that you think I should do more often? I'll tell you, I had a direct report, and had he asked me this question, I would have said, just be on time. Just be on time. In reference to the story that I opened up with, had I asked Tom this question, he might have said, you know, you're using the wrong PowerPoint template. Great. That would have been an easy fix. It might be something more complex, like, you know, your skills in Excel or financial projections could use some work. And I know that probably doesn't feel super awesome to receive that feedback, but a heck of a lot better when you're prepared to receive it, when you are controlling the conversation rather than getting blindsided by it. So that's the second question. And then our third one here is, what can I do to make you more effective? What can I do to make you more effective? Maybe they would say, you know what, ask me for some feedback on your presentations before you deliver them. Or be sure to include a section in your report where you list your key accomplishments for the week, because I have to share that with my leader as well. So these are power move questions, ladies. And your call to action for today has two parts. First is practice these questions. You could even practice them on family members, significant others, children, certainly in a professional environment, but test the waters, you know, in a very safe and friendly and comfortable setting. And then part two of this is share here in the LinkedIn group how it went. What is one thing that you learned from asking these questions? One way in which you elevated your communication and or strengthened your position by proactively asking these questions. As you may have heard me say before, knowing isn't growing, but doing is moving. And so this is the doing part to help reinforce the lesson here. And so that is your mini lesson for today. I'd be happy to take a few questions, and I encourage everyone to drop your key takeaway in the chat.
Yeah, these are really great questions. I'm definitely going to practice. And then I might send out a Google form to some peers with these questions.
Excellent idea. Yeah, because they'll elicit great feedback, but they're not super punchy, right? I mean, it really gives runway for someone to think about it, and you're framing it for it to be constructive from them, no matter what their IQ, EQ state of mm-hmm. mind.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Lessons learned, if I had a time machine. So
yeah,
there you go.
Great. Especially as a new leader, these are going to be really helpful.
I just had actually one of my cohorts, I have several ladies in there who have recently made the transition from individual contributor to leader. And they're in the midst of their mid-year review. So for the first time, they're reviewing their direct reports. And we've had a few conversations about, all right, this is what I want to say, but I realize saying it in that manner might not be the most constructive way.
Yeah.
This was actually when I first saw these questions, I immediately messaged it to a few of them. And I said, hey, what do you think about this framework? And they were like, oh, that makes it so much easier. So now, yeah, they're using it both ways too. Yeah.